coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast. We have a guest host in We'll Explain Why, plus the PGA Tour season, kind of on the back burner, but some cards were earned, and I'll touch on that for a second. And it's our Football is Back episode, a recap of week one in college football, my birthday weekend, and some week one picks with our featured guest, Anthony, joining the Course of Life as our honorary co-host for the week one football festivities. But first, we start off this episode with some great resources for your game. So if you're looking for any golf instruction aids, discount deals on clubs, merchandise for gifts, or someone special in your golfing life, head over to shotshavershop.com and enter our promo code SHAVER. That's S-H-A-V-E-R for 25% off your purchase. It's shotshavershop.com, promo code SHAVER for the best deals in golf to help out your game today. And also, we have some exciting information about another great retailer and discounts on training aids for your golf game coming up on next week's episode. So get excited for that, all coming up next on The Course of Life. Hello, interwebs. Welcome to another edition of The Course of Life, presented by Izzo Golf, as always, the podcast where we talk about everything happening on tour, in golf, plus other things going on in the world of sports. Yes, it's myself, Alex, filling in for Michael. We're going to bring in our guest co-hosts in honor of Michael's absence and get a little hurricane talk now. So I have Anthony joining us. And Anthony, give me your initial. I know you have a take on just Hurricane Dorian and everything that's gone down with the storm and its path. And, you know, how much worry do you think our co-host Michael has in Savannah, Georgia in the next few days?
Yeah, well, first off, just Alex, thanks for having me join as the co-host. I feel Absolutely. Pretty honored, yeah. honored to join. I've been talking with you for the last week about this hurricane.
We have,
and
yes.
I mean, you know, I'm a big weather guy, and you know, most of anyone that knows me knows that I follow the weather pretty closely.
Yes,
but in terms of this hurricane, you know, it's on radar. It is extremely scary. I don't know how many people have been able to look at the radar, but it's massive.
It's just hauling down the coast, like right up the edge of Florida, and the margin for error seems like very big. It's kind of scary. Yeah,
the crazy thing about it that just amazes me is right when it's about to hit Florida, it takes a complete turn to the northeast, almost completely outlining the United States, which is, if you think about it, it's crazy. I mean, I'm not sure, you know, I'm into weather, but I'm really not sure what's going into, you know, what's making it do that.
Exactly.
But
yeah.
But it's crazy if you just look at the path. It literally, you know, from what's projected, it literally looks like it's just outlining the United States. It's crazy.
Yeah, so we'll send our best out to Michael, and I don't think it's going to go too far inland to be a severe threat for his area, but he may be getting out of town for a little bit tomorrow. So we send our best to him, and he'll be back with us next week to recap all that madness, but he'll stay safe along with everyone else down there in the southern portion of the United States with Hurricane Dorian. So again, you know, it is that kind of that time of the year. It's hurricane season. We got post-Labor Day blues, but you know, you and I have talked about it before. There's a lot of Mondays or Tuesdays, like coming off of like long holidays and vacations. We're big on kind of like, what are the worst days of the year to work? And like the Tuesday after Labor Day, the Wednesday after Labor Day, they're rough. But the thing is, we got football season like right here, right now with week one. So I feel like it just kind of makes the whole situation a little bit more tolerable. You know,
you got everything ahead of you. You know, you've got all of football season. You've got Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, the better part of the year. So, you know, going to work, you know, on a Tuesday after Labor Day is definitely not a big deal to me.
Yeah, I agree. And it's that time. We'll get to a lot of week one talk. As for the stuff on the course, real quick, like I mentioned, more tour cards were given out. It was the Korn Ferry Tour Championship, aka the tour that used to be called the web.com, as you know, Anthony. But they gave out some more cards. It was cool to see some guys like with some seemingly meaningless putts, but they knew it was for them to lock up their card. And some guys like Doug Gim, who's a UT alum, had some really cool putts to secure their status for next week. So it's still kind of a vacation for the PGA Tour. nothing going on this coming week. And next weekend, they're back at it at the Greenbrier, an event that they've been at for several years now. So again, kind of golf a little bit dormant. So we're bringing in our football expert to it to talk everything Pigskin. So, you know, without further ado, we'll get right into this week's NFL preview with our guest, Anthony. But first, the Course of Life is brought to you, as always, by Izzo Golf, and coming soon, the Izzo Golf Swami 6000. Indeed, yes, the Swami 6000 is the GPS unit you've been waiting for, with more advanced features, accuracy, versatility. This golf GPS is something you must get your hands on. With magnetic backing, the Swami 6000 easily attaches to your golf cart during your round, so you can get accurate distances to the front, center, and back of the green on the large 2-inch color display. Plus, get accurate distances to hazards and doglegs, as well as auto course and hole recognition. The unit is preloaded with over 38,000 golf courses worldwide. No subscription or download fees at all. Plus, it has a digital scorecard holder to track scores, greens in regulation, putts per round. Anthony and I love putting those in the scorecards all the time, for sure. So it makes it a lot easier. It's the technology that will change your game, and it's available this summer. Plus, right now, listeners of this podcast can save an additional 25% off their order with the promo code podcast. So go get your personalized bag, hit the course in style, or get the Swami 6000. Again, that's promo code podcast at www.izzo.com. Izzo Golf, innovation and features designed for golfers by golfers.
Thank you.
All right, that's right. We mentioned it at the top. I have Anthony joining me from Austin, Texas. Not only my pal, he's a husband, he's a father. He basically gets his planned his week around getting on the couch time on Sundays because it's NFL season now. We're going to be seeing a lot more of each other, a lot more Patriots games to come out at our local bar. So Anthony joining to get everyone primed for the NFL season starting Thursday. I'm curious, Anthony, I asked for a few takes of yours, NFL related. I want you to just like read me like a couple just to kind of like whet my appetizer, like kind of what you have in store for everyone right now.
So my first initial thought of this whole Andrew Luck thing with the whole booing and the fans and everything like that, the first thing I thought of was how awful are these people, you know?
Yes.
Like the guy's obviously, you know, struggling pretty big, and like, you know, he's obviously not retiring out of just the will of not wanting to play football anymore. He just can't play anymore. So I was thinking, how awful are these people? But I have a whole new take on the thing. So, you know, my initial reaction, like I said, was just low class, like, you know, and we go back with these Colts fans, you know, back to the Peyton days where
there is a lot of history with the Patriots and the Colts. Yes.
So, you know, I had a negative initial reaction to it, but then I was kind of thinking about it. You know, you've got, it's fourth quarter preseason. What was it? Was it the fourth game, Alex, or was it the third game?
Third game against the Bears. Yeah, it was a Saturday night game, and he was standing on the sidelines as the news broke.
Yeah, so the news breaks, and he's retiring, and he's on the sidelines. It's the fourth quarter. You've got you would assume at that point, probably the biggest diehard Colts fans still in that stadium.
Yes, true.
And all of a sudden, their quarterback, their franchise quarterback, who they released and traded Peyton Manning away for, is now retiring. I mean, everything was around Andrew Luck. The whole plan was always Andrew Luck. And all of a sudden, in his prime years, he's decided to just step away. So, you know, I'm not sure if I'm booing still, but I'm actually probably still upset because remember we haven't heard his press conference yet.
Yeah, they reserve the right to be upset. You're right, and it's one of those things where I could really see myself being part of the boo in the moment, and then about an hour later, when I take in the entirety of the story, realizing, yeah, baby, that was kind of a crappy move to boo Andrew Luck in the moment there. But you know, in the heat of the moment, if you're a sports fan, you are somewhat entitled to that reaction, as horrible as it sounds at times. So that's a great launching off point for sure. I knew you'd have a Luck take that you wanted to get out for sure. So we're just going to do about 2-3 minutes on each division, and we're going to start with the AFC South. Like you mentioned, Colts, Luck retiring. It's Jacoby Brissett's team now. Your favorite, Brian Hoyer, got signed as well as a quarterback in Indianapolis. What do you think overall about that division? You know, the Texans trading away Clowney. There's some interesting headlines there in terms of who's going to be the quarterback in Tennessee. Just kind of, you know, your minute or two thought on the division and who you think might be worthy in the playoffs at the end of the season.
I still like the Titans. I mean, the Texans, they brought in some players, obviously, this weekend. Kenny Stills, obviously, is, you know, it's going to be a major impact for them. I know they have some wide receiver injuries that might fill in some holes for. But at the end of the day, if you just look down the list in the AFC South, you look at the Colts, they're obviously going to be a mess this year. I mean, I love Jacoby Brissett because he was a Patriots guy and everything.
Yeah, he's our guy. Yeah.
He's not going to be able to, you know, he's not going to lead this team to a division win. Let's put it that way.
Right.
The Jaguars are obviously, you know, they've got the Nick Foles thing going. We'll see how that goes. But it's still, I mean, it feels like that might be still fresh. And I feel like that the Titans are probably in the best, in terms of stability, they're probably in the best position to win the division. The Texans, I just can't trust the Texans. I just never have. I never can. I just feel like they're always good, but never going to be great, I guess.
Yeah, but we're at that kind of make or break point with Deshaun Watson too. I feel like it's like I see so much potential with him, but can it be prolonged over an entire season? And when does he become a liability at certain points during the ball over? So he's got things to learn. So that'll be kind of a wash of a division. Not really sure who's going to dominate coming out of there. Let's go AFC North now. I want to talk to you about the Steelers. That's who the Patriots lead off with Sunday Night Football coming up this weekend. No Le'Veon Bell gone. No Antonio Brown gone. What are your thoughts on Big Ben and kind of the new look Steelers? And are they in a position to be atop this division again, or are the Ravens and Lamar Jackson going to be a threat as well?
Yeah, I think the Steelers situation is a watered down Kyrie Irving situation. Honestly,
reference. Good.
I think that, you know, it's addition by subtraction. AB is obviously an amazing player, and they're losing a lot of talent there. But at the end of the day, we all know in the NFL, it's not about one receiver. It's not about, you know, one running back. It really is the whole entire team and how the team plays together. And it just feels like he was a little bit of a thorn in everyone's side. And whether or not that was because of him or because of Big Ben or whatever it was, it just wasn't working anymore. And I do feel like the Steelers are, I still think they're going to win the division. I think it's going to be closer. You know, it's going to be close between them and the Ravens, yeah. But I just don't see them collapsing anyway. I mean, Roethlisberger, if you look back, you know, the last few years, Roethlisberger's kind of lost that. He's definitely lost the mobility side. I mean, he's still a strong quarterback, but he's not running around like he used to. So he's running off of IQ at this point. And I think he's still a very good quarterback. It's hard for me to feel like that team's a huge threat in the AFC. I think they're a good team. I don't know if they're going to be in the Chiefs Patriots territory. Right. I think they'll probably be somewhere similar to last year, with a little bit more stability. At the end of the day, when it comes to the Patriots Steelers game, emotional game for the Patriots, obviously, you know, getting a ring and being able to celebrate that. But I do think the Steelers are going to come out firing week one. And it concerns me. It doesn't, at the end of the day, it's week one, so it's not a big deal, but I do think that's going to be a tight game for sure.
Yeah, I like that. No, it will be. Don't overlook their hot start potentially in the first half with Big Ben. He has a knack for playing well in these type of spotlight games. And the other team that we got to get to within this division, because I'll take it to the golf course in honor of our golfing audience. You and I were golfing a couple weeks ago with a couple of nice guys that we just met, and they were all over the Cleveland Browns hype train. And you and I feel like have been going to bat constantly this offseason, trying to shoot down this hype, because we're just not completely sold. I want like your 30 seconds of why the Browns won't be like all of a sudden dominant out of nowhere.
Well, anyone that's hyped up about the Browns just hasn't looked at their schedule. I mean, they're playing.
Yes, that's true.
If you look at their schedule, any team, I'm not even picking on the Browns here, but any team that would have this schedule would. It's going to be a tough schedule. They start off against the Titans. That's going to be a dicey game. They're going to be at the Jets the week after, and that's a tough place to go. Then all of a sudden it's Rams, Ravens, 49ers, Seahawks, Patriots.
That is brutal.
And then at Denver, which is never easy for anyone. They get a little break with the Bills, and then there's Steelers, Dolphins, Steelers again, obviously in division. And then they just play the Ravens one more time. Everything else is kind of.
I'm having a hard time finding 8 wins there, honestly.
So that's tough. My answer to your question is 7-9 is the best I could do with this schedule. I mean, for them, I think they're going to be better than last year in terms of the way they look, the way they win games. I look at this schedule, I just don't see how they're going to beat some of these teams.
Yeah, for sure. All right, cool. That's the AFC North. Let's go AFC West now and talk quickly about a guy that's kind of been like our nemesis, and he's kind of been our bugaboo as Patriots fans, a guy that just figured out how to get it done for a long time, and that was Joe Flacco. But now in Denver now, is this a rebirth for him? Well, what do you actually think about how he could do at Mile High, and can they be a contender in the division against the Chiefs, or is this just a cakewalk for Mahomes in Kansas City?
Oh, it's a band-aid for the Broncos. I think they're buying one more year of trying to build whatever they want to build. I just don't see Flacco. You know, again, if you look at their schedule, it is absolutely brutal. Most of that is in division with the Chargers and the Chiefs. Obviously, the Raiders will probably be a little bit of an easier game.
Big subject from Hard Knocks, the Raiders. We've been talking a lot about them for sure. A lot of drama around that camp.
Right, but at the end of the day, it's still a divisional game, so there won't be, you know, they'll have two games against them. And Flacco, you know, it's just like sometimes I always, you know, the way I thought about it with Flacco for a long time was it was the defense. I mean, the Ravens had an amazing defense. They won that Super Bowl against the 49ers. Let's just be honest. I think Flacco is an efficient player. You know, quarterback, I think he's going to be better than Brian Hoyer or Jacoby Brissett for the Colts.
Yes, sure. Yeah.
Will Joe Flacco lead the Denver Broncos to a playoff? I don't think so. I think they're going to miss the playoffs. I think they're an 8-8, 9-7 team at best. But, you know, being in Denver, they always do get that, you know, a little bit of a leg up.
It's such a weird place to play. It is. Right. Strange things happen there. Yeah.
And that's really it. I mean, I just there's not much to talk about Joe Flacco because I think he's the most boring quarterback in the NFL. So that's
You love to talk about how mundane he is. He's just very characterless. He gives a very vanilla interview. That's for sure.
He's the Dustin Johnson of football.
Ooh, another Crossmore reference there. Thanks to the golfing audience as well. DJ, shout out to DJ. Let's go AFC East real quick. You and I, lifelong Patriots fans, of course. This division has become just essentially a punching bag. It's a laughing matter, as it has been in the last, you know, geez, decade, 15, 20 years now, as crazy as it's been throughout the Brady Belichick reign. Just kind of taking a look at the quarterbacks that the Patriots are going to be going up against twice this year. Ryan Fitzpatrick, your favorite, Anthony, now starting for the Dolphins. He started for all three teams in the AFC and played against the Patriots, and Darnold with the Jets, and Josh Allen with the Bills. Out of those three, which one do you think might have the best year, though, against the Patriots and in the division?
I think Sam Darnold's going to – so I was a huge seller on Sam Darnold, even like last year when everyone was all about it. But I just – I mean, they put a lot of weapons around him. Obviously, they have Le'Veon Bell now. And I just think they're in the best position to even have a shot at a wild card in the division. If you're going to ask me which team has the best shot at a wild card, I'd say the Jets. Obviously, the Dolphins have gutted. You know, if I was Ryan Fitzpatrick, I'd be coming up with my one-year retirement plan because they did everything they could to make him look bad after this year. So,
no, it's amazing he won that job. He is just he's like a cat. He's got like 9 lives in the NFL. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I don't know who he's throwing the ball to anymore, but he'll, you know, he's got the magic, so we'll see what happens. And the Bills, you know, Josh Allen, the Bills, I don't know if it's like a Bills personnel issue, but I just feel like their coaching staff is very vanilla. I don't know. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, I know. There's not a lot of go for it mentality in their game planning, and I never see them kind of really airing it out in situations when they need to. They're just so overly conservative at all the wrong times, and you know, I don't know. Josh Allen's just one of those guys. He's got a big arm. He's got a cannon of an arm, but can he dial it in and make the 5 to 10 yard throws and get really good at those? And that's what I'm watching for him this season. I'm not sure there's going to be a whole ton of improvement there, but they could be in the 7 to 8 win territory for sure. So I guess in terms of the Patriots for us, I'll give you a second if you don't have the schedule up, but I know that you sent me a record earlier this week. You love just kind of combing through and just giving me the win loss. And I think you dialed up 12-4 for the Patriots this season. I'm curious if that's correct, A, and B, where are the losses? Do you remember where you had the 4 losses for New England this season? I'm sure a lot of Patriots haters out there would love to know where they can look forward to seeing Tom Brady lose a game this season.
Yeah, so I actually do have the schedule up here. And what I like to do, I think both of us like to do this when we go through the Patriots schedule, is I like to break it up into quarters. So I look at
4 games. I think they do too. The organization kind of does to a certain extent.
4 games at a time, because it's just kind of like the way they lose and the way they win is that way. So I broke it up into 4 quarters. The first 4 games they play are the Steelers, at Dolphins, at, you know, and then at home against the Jets, and then at the Bills. I think they go 3-1. I'm not sure, you know, it might be, I have the Steelers as a loss, but it could be, you know, it could be it could be at Miami for, you know, I have no idea how they would lose that game, but it just seems like we lose in Miami. It's going to be at 200 degrees. So you never know what could happen. I don't think we've been to Miami this early in the season in a few years, but,
it is very early. Yeah.
I just see that, you know, they're us going 3-1 there. Then it's at Redskins, Giants, at Jets, and then at home against the Browns. I think the at Jets, you know, just historically is always a tough game. I'd say we go 3-1 there again. So there's two losses.
Sure.
And then it's at the Ravens, at Eagles, at home against the Cowboys, and then at Texans. So a lot of away games there.
That could be that could be the famous dip where everyone jumps off the Patriots bandwagon right there.
And I do have two losses there, potentially. There so yep. potentially at the Ravens, mobile quarterback. We all know Belichick has a little trouble with mobile accurate quarterbacks, and Lamar Jackson is certainly one of them. And then at the Eagles is gonna that could be the bloodbath game that everyone panics. You know, every year there's one panic game, so that could be it. And then it's Chiefs at Bengals, Bills, Dolphins.
Always, we always get those favors with the two softball AFC East games to end the season at Gillette Stadium. It's like clockwork every year.
Right. That Chiefs game's obviously, you know, probably monumental. We don't know for sure, but it just feels like it'll be monumental. And that could be a loss. So I'd say between the two that I'm kind of a little bit nervous about is the at Ravens and then against the Chiefs at home. One of those is going to be a loss. So I'm sticking to 12-4. Worst case scenario, 11-5.
I like that. That's a good set. Pretty conservative bet for sure. I think that just barely hits the over. Their team total for wins is in the 11 or 11.5 range. So we'll see how that plays out. And we'll remember this. If the sky is falling around Thanksgiving, we'll remember to just calm down because we did talk about this before week one started for sure. So let's hop over to the NFC for the second half of our NFL preview here with Anthony joining the course of life as our co-host. And let's get right over to that because I just booked my tickets officially, Anthony. It looks like I'm going to be headed to Chicago for a Chicago Bears Chiefs game late in the season, week 16. So I'll be in the frozen tundra at Soldier Field. Let's talk a little bit about the NFC North specifically. Bears and Packers kicking things off to start the season Thursday night, getting week one going in the NFL. I'm curious what your thoughts are on that division. You know, the Bears had a great year defensively, get Mitch Trubisky just kind of managing the game, biding their time. They went 12-4 when it was all said and done behind Khalil Mack and his defense. And dethroned the Packers last year. Do you think that's going to happen again, or is this maybe one more year of Aaron Rodgers' magic?
Yeah, so I was interested in this. This is one of the tougher divisions because it's just all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, just start off the bat. I mean, we can just say what we need to say here. Kirk Cousins has no interest in winning a Super Bowl. He's got his money.
Yes.
And he's I mean, the Vikings, you know.
We don't have to spend too much time on that. We know exactly where they're going with Kirk Cousins at the helm.
Right. So, but, you know, I think what it comes down to is, do I want to throw the Lions out? I'm not sure if I do. I feel like they're going to improve this year. I just don't know if they're going to win the division. I think at the end of the day, with a new coach, with Aaron Rodgers, that's also a little bit of a wild card. So it's hard for me to say, you know, it's hard for me to, with the Bears defense, it's hard for me to say, hey, the Packers are definitely going to win the division over the Bears. So if I have to back into a decision here, it's probably the Bears. But I don't really love Mitch Trubisky. I mean, I think hopefully he improves a little bit. I'd like to see, you know, the Bears do well in that division. But I don't know if I fully trust him, especially with Aaron Rodgers in that division.
Yeah, I know. It's tough. It's going to be hard for them to repeat 12-4 in terms of the win-loss. I think this is still a 9 or 10 win team that's going to keep themselves in contention in the division and probably get somewhere of a wild card spot. And they can be dangerous if they're playing at Soldier Field in a cold weather scenario with their defense on. That's going to be tough, as teams like the Rams saw last year when they tried to go in there and had absolutely no success. So, yeah, we'll look out for that Bears-Packers rivalry, and we'll talk about this Thursday in a little bit as well. But the NFC South, this is all just about the New Orleans Saints and Drew Brees, a team that a lot of people, and we can kind of rehash that moment, think got just absolutely screwed last season in the NFC Championship. They've got to be out for revenge. You know, the Panthers are a team that I think could be a decent team to watch out for with young talent like Christian McCaffrey. But do you think this is just said and done and just a dominant Saints year again, or is someone else possibly going to win this division?
So the Saints aren't the type of team to have consistent performances year to year, right? I mean, I haven't seen too many years in which they have consistent performances.
Yeah, no, that's true in terms of a 16-game schedule. Yeah, so that is something to look for. Are you looking for a little slump in New Orleans in terms of the win-loss record or what?
I think that call was a big call. I think that call goes into this season a little bit. I really do. I mean, you have the Panthers, which are still a very good team. They underachieved last year, obviously. Yeah. I mean, the Falcons still have a good coaching staff. They have Matt Ryan. I don't think they're going to get walked all over, you know, in this division either. I think the Bucs are your throwaway team in this division. I just think that the whole Jameis Winston thing isn't going to work out, and you know, it is what it is. But if you're asking me if the Saints are, you know, if the Saints are a shoe-in, not with the Panthers and the Falcons in the division. That division is so variable that it's hard for me to say, yeah, for sure, the Saints are going to win that division. I do think there's going to be a little bit of a hangover from that call, for sure.
Okay, no, I'm going to look for that. We'll see if that prediction plays out. Let's shift to the NFC West before we get into the drama in the NFC East and talk about our boy Jimmy G. So this division's kind of wide open with the Seattle Seahawks, the Rams, defending NFC champions, the 49ers kind of looking to be an upstart team, and Kyler Murray and the Cardinals. I don't see much success there, but you just have no clue what to expect from that rookie season from him. But again, Jimmy G, just your thoughts. You know, again, coming off a huge injury, back looked a little iffy in preseason. Where are you kind of on the, you know, Jimmy G bandwagon in terms of what you think he can be in his career and starting with this season in San Francisco?
You know, I will remind everyone that when Tom Brady tore his ACL, that next year he struggled. I mean, it wasn't, you know, in Tom Brady's, you know, obviously in Tom Brady.
He did, though. Yeah, it was one of his worst statistical years, correct?
Coming off of an ACL is not easy. It's not easy mentally. It's not easy physically. And I worry about Jimmy G a little bit just because there's so much pressure on him to perform this year, not only make the playoffs, but this is a team that thinks that they can make the Super Bowl. And so
there's
fans.
A lot of hype there. Yeah.
I mean, they're the West Coast Browns, really, at the end of the day.
Yes.
With Jimmy G at the helm. So I worry about that a little bit because he's a good quarterback, but you know, when you're put in bad situations, like he's about to be put in because coming off an ACL with all that, you know, pressure to perform, I'm a little worried about it, but at the same time, he could step up to the plate and do very well.
Yeah, so that's going to be an interesting thing to see. I'm kind of buggish on his career arc right now with this injury. This is going to be a key season to see how he throws the ball and how he is comfortable moving out of the pocket. He looked a little skittish when he was moving out of the pocket in these preseason games, but hopefully he'll be making that adjustment kind of with more reps and whatnot, and we'll see where San Francisco takes it from there. Now, the final division to go over in the NFL preview before we get some quick picks from you is the NFC East, and myself and my co-host Michael, he's a big giant Giants fans. We talk a lot about the Eli Daniel Jones controversy in New York. This is very familiar to me, Anthony, that you love drawing comparisons. This kind of reminds me of Eli's older brother, Peyton. This is kind of like Peyton Andrew Luck sitting in the helm. This is kind of like Peyton Brock Osweiler in Denver. I see a lot of those similarities, and I'm wondering, since the Pole Patriots dynasty started in a similar situation, what's it going to take or for the Giants to finally just give up on Eli Manning and go with Daniel Jones? Like, how long is that thread or how long is that string for them before they make the decision to go with the rookie?
I think if the Giants go 0-4, you'll never see Eli Manning start for the Giants ever again.
0-4. That's safe. How about 1-3, maybe?
1-3, no, they keep him around, see if they can get back to 500. But if it starts, if it kind of like if we finish off the first half of the season at like, I don't know, like four, well, 2-6, then yeah, they're bringing in Daniel Jones.
And
for
we're
sure.
talking about it. Yeah. Okay. All right. Cool. We'll leave that prediction on the line for the end of September for sure. I know he's waiting in the wings and he's just waiting for any moment for Eli to screw this up, for him to hop in there and get a snap or two or a look when he can. So we'll see how that all goes down in New York. I want you to give me your kind of Zeke holdout take. We had some texts where you describe your take on this whole situation with kind of Zeke Elliott, the running back for the Cowboys. He's holding out on his contract. He's refusing to play in the preseason and whatnot. I'm curious kind of how you view this scenario and what he thinks kind of his true value is in the NFL as a running back.
Well, first off, you know, Jerry Jones came out and said that he reserved the right to joke with Ezekiel Elliott. And yeah. I 100% agree. I mean, Jerry Jones, I hate the guy. I don't really like him very much, but at the end of the day, he put in all of his money into this team. And he's, you know, taking it from $800 million team to a $5 billion team in the course of his tenure. And if he wants to joke a little bit about a running back who's pretty much trying to stick his hands in his pockets and take his money, you know, I think he reserves the right to do that. Running backs, in my opinion, this is my opinion, but I just feel like the difference between a top running back in the NFL and a mediocre running back in the NFL is an offensive line. And I think at the end of the day, it's scheme and offensive line is probably more value than the running back themselves. And so paying a running back $30 million a year is absolutely ridiculous in my opinion. If you look at the Patriots, they have literally never done that.
We could spend an hour just going through random running backs New England had that got a 100-yard rushing game out of nowhere and we never heard from them again. We could go forever on that topic.
I mean, Jonas Gray got, 200 yards.
Yeah, seriously.
So I just don't see the need to pay Ezekiel Elliott. And if he holds out, great. What I would do if I was Jerry Jones, I would roll for 4 games without him and see what happens. I think the Cowboys are good enough to win, go 3-1, 2-2. And yeah, you know, you're going to have some pressure with, you know, the fans and everything like that. But if they go 3-1, you know, all of a sudden Jerry Jones doesn't have to pay as much anymore. So I don't see why he wouldn't do something like that.
This is true. Looking out for the finances for sure. So that's our division by division look in the NFL. Let's just get to the kind of wraparound final question of this whole thing is, I'll just ask it straight up to you. Are we just going to see the same thing again in the AFC and NFC championship? Is this Pats, Chiefs and Saints, Rams again? Or do you see maybe any other teams fitting into that equation for the final four when it's all said and done at the end of January?
I just don't see it in the AFC. Unless there's some massive surprise, I just don't see the teams out there that can compete with the Chiefs or the Patriots. And, we'll see how the whole no Gronk thing works out, you know. But if you look at the Patriots' record without Gronkowski, they have a winning record. So it's not like, you know, I don't know if it's going to make a huge enough impact where they're not there in the AFC Championship. And then the Chiefs, I just feel like the Chiefs, if you know, unbiased, they're probably the best team in the NFL right now with Mahomes at the helm. So it's just, it's hard for me to say, hey, the AFC is going to be any different. Now on the NFC side, I could see the Rams having a little bit of a Super Bowl hangover. Remember, Todd Gurley is not right still. I mean, I don't know where he's at right now, but he didn't look great last year at the end of last year. And then, you know, I don't know where Kupp is and you know, I just don't know if the Rams, I think there's some, you know, kinks in their armor. I think they were exposed a little bit. I don't know if they'd be back. And the Saints, as we discussed, they just have never shown consistency on a year to year basis. They've shown consistency over the last, 10, 15 years as being, a good organization, but I just don't know if if those two teams are, with all the competition out there with the Eagles, the Cowboys, I think one team we haven't discussed is the Seahawks. I mean,
yeah, that was on my list. I was just about to mention them, a coach and a quarterback in a year when the NFC's in flux, that might go a long way. And this could be a real sneaky sleeper Seahawks year for sure.
there's too many teams in the NFC for me to be like, yeah, the same two teams are going to be there next year. So yeah. I don't know. The AFC seems very easy. I could be wrong. The NFC seems wide open.
Good stuff from Anthony. That was our division by division preview. We'll be right back after this with our picks and bet tips for the week one action. right, welcome back. So with that, let's get to our week one picks. Again, I'm at Course of Life 1 on Twitter. Michael's at MWRINC. Anthony, what are you? A Boutros 14, correct? On Twitter as well, too.
Yeah,
so we'll see how.
Yeah, you're mostly just going to see a bunch of airline complaints on my Twitter. So
That's right. Well, we're big on that. And we can get to that another time, of course. But we love hearing your airline complaints, and we'll be sure to add them to future episode conversations. Indeed. But yeah, let's get to those week one games. Like we mentioned, we talked about Bears-Packers. It's Thursday night. It's the opener. The Bears -3 at Soldier Field. A slight favorite in this one, and the over-under is 46.5. So this being kind of the first game of the year, Bears a slight favorite against the Packers. I mean, that's pretty much a pick 'em, Anthony. So who do you like on Thursday nights in terms of like whether you go with over-under or maybe a pick for that game?
I think, you know, early on in the season, you know, mostly defenses are favored over offenses. Offenses are still trying to figure out their, you know, their schemes. They're still trying to figure out what works and what doesn't work. We got Aaron Rodgers with a new coach. You know, I just feel like the Bears are in a better position to win because of their defense. In terms of the line itself, I still think that you probably are safer picking the Bears at -3. But that's what I think of that game, to be honest.
Yeah, I know. A tough kicker situation. I don't even know who they went with, but they had like a kicker competition all preseason. So just any Bears line inside of 3 points just kind of brings back eerie memories of that double doink last year in the playoffs. So we don't even have to go there. But that could be something to watch with the line on Thursday night's game. And then the other one we mentioned, I like the Bears -3 as well, too. So I'll be hitting that. Patriots are -5.5. That's like my favorite number, Anthony. So just inside of a touchdown favorite, the Patriots at home, you know, I'm not going to stay away from that. Let's talk about the scoring in this game, though, and how loose it might be based on what you think about the expectations for the Patriots defense this season. Over under 51 points in the Sunday night opener between the Steelers and the Patriots.
Okay, so 51 points, that would be
so
like
28-24 gets you over.
Okay. I'd take the under. Honestly, it's kind of crazy for me to say that.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back to defenses play better early on in the season than offenses do. And you've got two pretty decent defenses. I mean, the Steelers are a little bit of a question mark, but I think the Patriots just got better. And I think that the Steelers are going to be figuring out their life without AB. And I just don't see them being like a ton of touchdowns in this game. I think it'll probably be closer to like, 24-21. I think that would probably be a better, you know, score, or 21-17, something like that. I think that's what I'm thinking, week one. But I think it's going to be a close game. I gotta be honest with you, Alex. I hesitate at Patriots -5.5. I could see them winning by 4, but I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if I'd go a touchdown. It's possible, though. You know, anything's possible with the Patriots.
It is. The night games at Gillette, they just seem so daunting, but they can be kind of dicey at the same time. So should be an interesting line and set of week one games to watch. Myself and Michael will have all the recap next week of everything that goes wrong around the NFL. We want to touch on college first because we're in Austin, home of the Longhorns. I had the pleasure during my birthday weekend of going to UT's opener. They absolutely smashed Louisiana Tech like I knew they would. It was a good little atmosphere there in Austin for sure. Just kind of nice to finally go to a cakewalk. I feel like every single UT football game I've gone to have been like the most intense ones in the world, dating back to the last few years. But the big news, Anthony, is officially College Game Day, ESPN's flagship college football program, is going to be taking it to Austin, Texas for the Texas LSU game this Saturday. It, along with Texas A&M Clemson, a couple of amazing college football games coming up this weekend. But I want to get your thoughts kind of on that game for the Horns and LSU. I think it's going to be a real tough one to win, and we'll talk about potential game day locations as well. But I guess what are your thoughts on the Longhorns this week and this season as far as their chances?
I think they looked very good against Louisiana State. I mean, I obviously was a little nervous about that week one, game mm-hmm. because, you know, the last couple of years we've lost to Maryland and ended up, you know, still having decent seasons, but it was a thorn in, you know, in Texas's side for the whole entire year. So getting that win out of the way and not overlooking Louisiana State was definitely that look that, you know, that made me feel a little bit more confident. I think this LSU game is, you know, from what I saw, I think we're, was it Texas's 5.5 point underdogs? Is that right?
Ooh, dang, geez, at home too. That's rough to see. That's when you know that the SEC is coming to town. Like this is no like soft top six or seven team. This is gonna be the real deal, and there's gonna be some smash mouth football. So hopefully Sam Ehlinger is ready for that, because that's gonna be tough down low.
It's going to be a close game. I mean, LSU, I think, has improved from last year. You know, we'll see how it all. I think they have to come out with an early start. They have to score. They just have to score touchdowns early on. You know, we obviously have a great kicker in Dicker the Kicker, one of my favorite Indeed. Players on the
yes.
team. so he may come in to play later on in the game. But I just feel like scoring early is going to be very important against LSU, because I think they're the type of team that might sneak back into the game at the end of the game. And we're going to need those points early on. But overall, in terms of the Texas team, I feel very, I was concerned with the loss of little Jordan Humphrey. You know, I feel like we, you know, in terms of the receiving core overall, I was very impressed.
We're in on Colin Johnson for sure. He's our guy.
Right. And I just can't even remember on the other side what that guy's name is. He starts with a D.
Yeah, I know. The team is so deep. And yeah. The other guy that I love is Keontae Ingram, who's just so versatile for them. He had a great game the other night. And those are the pieces to me, like around Sam Ehlinger, that are important, are his main guys that he can look to quickly when the rush comes. So we'll see how UT-LSU is. Hopefully it's a grinder for sure. It should be a fun time in Austin. I was kind of wondering and just throwing that idea out of college game day locations. They could go maybe like with the Texas State Capitol in the background. What do you think? Or maybe like with the UT Tower in the background, or possibly just right down the road there by the stadium. There's a lot of options for them. We'll see what they go with.
Is Schultz Garden still in business down there?
Oh, it is. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if they have the logistics. You know, that's your old backyard bar down the street from the stadium, but that would be a hell of a venue for sure. Very intimate indeed.
I could see it being somewhere around there, or if not there, because that's where the local broadcasts actually they set up there. So
that would be kind of cool. Yeah. So we'll send that tweet out in the next few days. It's at Course of Life One to see exactly where game day sets up in Austin. I might make a cameo on Saturday morning. You never know. We'll see how motivated I am. But that's our wrap on college football as well. Before we sign off again, it was my birthday weekend. Got brunch in. You and I got to go to Topgolf, one of our favorite spots. Always fun. But more importantly for you, I have a great announcement for you. I'm breaking some news about your golf game and practice ability. My wife got me essentially a Players Club membership to three different courses in the area that we know and love: Terra Vista, Avery Ranch, and Falcon Head. So we just have unlimited practice whenever we want there. And we're golfing once a week, whenever we want, forever. So that's just something for you to get excited about. It not only improves my game, but improves yours as well. So you can thank me whenever you want in the future.
That's an amazing gift. I wish I had that, but congratulations.
So free large bucket of balls on me next time I see you. Again, it was Anthony. It's at aboutros14 on Twitter. You can follow him during the course of the football season. Thanks for joining us, and everyone out there, thanks for joining as well. We'll see you back with Michael next week for another edition of The Course of Life. Everyone have a good week and weekend. Goodbye.